Welcome to Getting Intimate with Dr. Pragati Singh. This podcast was created as a part of the Podcast Lab by India Film Project in association with Anchor by Spotify. In the very first episode, I'm discussing with you five rather interesting facts about the human body, human sexuality, and intimacy. Most importantly, we'll be talking about what these five fun facts might mean for you. Let's get started. Fun fact number one. You might be able to smell out your best partners with whom you have the chances of producing the healthiest offsprings. And this is especially true for women. Let me explain. Now, in general, it seems like people tend to marry partners with a similar DNA pattern as theirs. It is already known that most people are inclined towards people with matching characteristics such as age, race, religion, income levels, and even upbringing. However, there are studies that reveal that there is also a tendency for people to pair up with spouses of identical genetic makeup. It is assumed that this must be to propagate genetic lineages. There's also more such evidence of what is called azotative mating in humans as well as other animals. Azotative mating is a form of sexual selection in which individuals with similar traits mate with one another more frequently than would be expected if it was completely random. However, it seems like there are some exceptions and nuances to this. There is also evidence in many animals and humans of disassortative mating with respect to certain components. Let me explain. There are some genes that comprise what is called the major histocompatibility complex, or MHC in short. This MHC plays an important role in regulating your body's immune response. And when it comes to MHCs, it seems like dissimilarity between partners is more preferable for reproduction. There is data to show that the more dissimilar a man and a woman's MHC are, the more likely they are to bring a child to term. Additionally, when two people with dissimilar MHCs mate, their offsprings gain the benefits of both the parents and have a more robust immune system. And so in that way, it relates that people would be better with partners of dissimilar MHC clusters. But what is more interesting is that according to some studies, women have been found to be capable of actually smelling out this genetic difference. For example, in a study at the University of Bern in Switzerland, some women were asked to smell t-shirts that had been worn by anonymous men for 2 nights. And then choose the ones which appealed to them the most. It was found that these women consistently preferred the odors of shirts worn by men with dissimilar MHCs. Another interesting twist in this study was that these same women's preferences for men of dissimilar MHCs got actually reversed when these women were taking oral contraceptive pills. Mind is equal to blown. But going back to people's selection of partners based on MHCs, in another meta-study of thousands of married people across Europe, researchers found that on average, the MHCs between couples in Europe were largely dissimilar, more so than could be accounted for by randomness. What do you think that implies? Now, how this entire smelling thing and partner selection works remains very much a mystery to this date. There is no conclusion if it definitely applies to all humans or not. And like any other research study, please take these findings with a pinch of salt. But what might it mean for you? Well, one, trust your instincts and know that maybe you don't really choose who you love the way that you think people do. A larger debate on free will and determinism could ensue from here, but let's leave that up to another episode. Oh, and yes, don't forget to sniff your dates before making any rash decisions. Fun fact number 2. There's much more to the clitoris than you've probably been told. If you've ever read or heard about the clitoris, and I sure hope you have, there's a good chance that you imagine it as some sort of a small blob of sensitive tissue forming a part of the vulva. Well, this blob is actually just the tip of the bigger internal clitoral iceberg, a complex sexual organ that is much larger than what is visible on the outside of the body. Considering how little emphasis has been paid to women's sexuality and their pleasure, does it surprise you that prior to the 90s, the internal structure of an excited clitoris had never been studied? In fact, it wasn't until 2009 that scientists produced the first 3D sonography of a stimulated clitoris. Look up a diagram of the shape of this organ. It has limbs. It's fascinating, trust me. In many ways, the clitoris is basically a smaller and a more sensitive penis. When you were just a little embryo, depending on the hormones that were acting on you, the same tissue could have grown into a clitoris or a penis. Of course, there are also many people who are born with genitals more ambiguous than this kind of a binary, but that's coming up in another episode. Even in adults, the tip of the clitoris resembles the tip of the penis. They're both sensitive parts and function in the same way. That is, on sexual excitement, the clitoris, much like the penis, also gets larger as it gets filled with blood. However, in the female's favor, the clitoris contains over 8,000 nerve fibers, almost twice that of a penis, making it considerably more sensitive. Interestingly, the distribution of the nerve endings through this much larger and complexly shaped clitoris that I spoke of varies between individual women, making each woman's pleasure map rather unique. Oh, and did you know that the clitoris is the only organ in human beings that exists only and only for the purpose of sexual pleasure? What does all of it mean for you? Well, 1. Regardless of your biological sex, look up the diagram of the clitoris. You might be surprised. 2. We really need to advocate for more research on women's sexuality. And 3. Know that each clitoris and vulva might need to be stimulated differently based on the distribution of the nerve endings. But in any case, it's definitely not just the tip. Fun fact number 3. To be fair, there's more to the penis too. It happens to be the only boneless part of the human body that can fracture. As you already might know, there are no bones in the penis, but it can, in fact, get broken. Medically, often referred to as a penile fracture, this is obviously a horrible injury and can be worse than it sounds. Technically, this injury is said to occur when a covering layer called the tunica albuginea gets torn. Now, the tunica albuginea is this fibrous tissue which envelops the erectile tissue throughout the length of the penis. At the time of sexual arousal, blood gets accumulated in the penis and is confined by this envelope in the inner layers. And so, in case of this layer getting broken, the blood leaks out into other tissue layers, leading to bruising and swelling. Now, you might be wondering, In what circumstances would this injury even happen? Here's how. By attempting a vigorous intercourse with the erect penis or ramming it into a solid structure that bends it. That's when this tear can happen. In fact, I found a report of a patient who suffered a penile fracture after he ran across the room and tried to penetrate his wife with a flying leap. What does it all mean for you? Well, if you have a penis, be careful before going for any kind of sexual acrobatics. And again, be grateful if you weren't born with one. Fun fact number 4. The orgasm is a biological mechanism meant to make the uterus gather up all the sperm that it can. But first, did you know that there are only two physiological responses in a human body that cannot be voluntarily stopped once they have started? It's orgasms, obviously, and 2, sneezes. Now coming back to the topic. All your life, you might have read and learned that the male partner does most, if not all, the work required for the impregnation of the female, right? That's what we're taught and that's what we assume is true. Right from the work done to deposit the sperms in the vagina, to the race that the poor sperms have to run towards the egg with the fastest sperm claiming victory and fertilizing it. Isn't that so? Well, not entirely. Let's start with the orgasm. During the orgasm, the uterus rocks back and forth in such a way that its lower end dips into the ejaculated semen repeatedly to potentially scoop up and suck in as much of the deposited ejaculate as it can, all in order to enhance the chances of pregnancy. In fact, this mechanism is responsible for up to a 15% boost in fertility. Oh, and fertilization is not really a race among the sperms towards the egg. The egg doesn't just sit there passively waiting to be penetrated by the best sperm. The eggs themselves are designed with complex biological mechanisms, sophisticated enough to determine which sperm they would rather let in. And that's how the process does not always ensure that the first one to reach the finish line is the one to also fertilize the egg. What does this mean for you? Well, give credit where it's due and stop taking so much pride in being the fastest sperm. You know better now. And lastly, fun fact number 5. The sperm can continue to live inside the woman and cause pregnancy up to a week after it was ejaculated during sex. If you thought that fertilization between the sperm and the egg can only occur immediately after sex, well, you're unfortunately wrong. Because sometimes, sperms can continue to live in the cervical mucus for up to 8 days without having fertilized an egg. Let me clarify. The ejaculated sperm will survive only for a few hours outside the human body as it will simply dry up. But once it has already made its way to the cervical mucus, it can stay quote-unquote alive for up to around a week before meeting the egg and fertilizing it. This has many implications if you think of it. In fact, on another tangent, there have also been cases reported where despite the ejaculation happening outside of the vagina, sperms have continued to travel up and reach the uterus, leading to fertilization. Oh, and also, as a doctor, it's my duty here to remind you that the pre-ejaculate fluid from a penis also contains sperms and can result in fertilization. What does all of it mean for you? Now, it's true that the chances of pregnancy due to any of these factors are relatively quite low. But it's my duty to tell you that these chances are definitely not 0%. So you can really not be 100% sure and confident that just because you had unprotected sex in the least fertile days of the female partner's cycle, there can't be any pregnancy. Because as we discussed, the ejaculated sperm might just continue to live for many days and then fertilize the egg when it becomes available. I hope you understand that the calendar method or the rhythm method is risky because of this. Also risky is the withdrawal method of contraception. Because one, the sperm from the pre-cum can lead to fertilization, and two, ejaculating outside but close to the vaginal opening is also risky because the sperm is capable of traveling up. Basically, always use protection. Those were the five fun and not so fun facts about human sexuality that I wanted to share with you today. Come back for the next episode to learn more. And don't hesitate to send me your questions, your queries, and your suggestions at pragatipodcast@gmail.com. I'll see you next time.